Let not your heart be troubled. You are listening to the Sean Hannity Radio Show podcast.
If you're like me and suffer from insomnia, you know what? That's not fun. You know, I tried everything. I couldn't get a good night's sleep. And this is neither drug nor alcohol induced. That's right. It is MyPillow. Mike Lindell invented it, and he fitted me for my first MyPillow, and it's changed my life. I fall asleep faster, stay asleep longer, and the good news, you can too. Just go to MyPillow.com, promo code Sean, and take advantage of one of Mike Lindell's best offers, his special four-pack. You get 50% off two MyPillow premium pillows, two go-anywhere pillows. Now, MyPillow is made in the USA, has a 60-day unconditional money-back guarantee, no risk to you, and a 10-year warranty. You don't want to spend more sleepless nights on a pillow tossing and turning that's not working for you. Just go to MyPillow.com right now. Use the promo code Sean, and you get Mike Lindell's special four-pack. You get two MyPillow premium pillows, two go-anywhere pillows, 50% off, and you'll start getting the kind of peaceful and restful and comfortable and deep healing and recuperative sleep you've been craving and deserve. MyPillow.com, promo code Sean.
All right, you want progress to stop? You want never-ending investigations? Do you want the forgotten men and women to be left behind? Are you better off than you were 2 years ago when you voted for Donald Trump? That is what is at issue 48 days from now. We're going to get into that later with Newt Gingrich. Three other big stories we are following today. Project Veritas is literally, through their investigative process, they are revealing a large resistance movement with inside the government, literally saboteurs trying to derail purposefully the Trump agenda and doing everything in their power to do so. Yesterday, it was the Department of State. Today, we've got audio and video we'll show you tonight that it is the Department of Justice. And there's more videos coming in the days ahead. Just like Anonymous was written in the New York Times that they're not going to listen to Donald Trump. They're going to go their own way. Now we've got a big problem as it relates also a part of our business we're going to get to in the course of this program. And that is, well, now we have people like Brennan and McCabe and Shifty Schiff. And they're all out there saying, you know what? Don't listen to a presidential order. Who needs to listen to the presidential order? That basically means, why listen to the United States Constitution? Article 2, Section 1, powers of the president. This is not complicated stuff here. And now Democrats, they are asking, as is people like Brennan, as is Shifty Schiff, as is Schumer, as is Pelosi, and as are now saying and reporting, that they may not listen to the presidential order. Well, the president has the constitutional power and authority to do what he did, to declassify and unredact. Problem is, these deep state figures, they don't want any of this information out. Where's Spartacus? Where's Cory Booker when we need him? Because if this information gets out, what you're going to learn is that there was people in the highest levels of our intel community and the highest levels of the FBI and Department of Justice that were involved in nefarious power-grabbing activities to basically, you know, perform a soft coup on Donald Trump. And I'll give you all the details of it. We'll lay it out for you. Andrew McCabe now, who we now know has a grand jury that has been summoned and seated and may face charges. He has a book coming out in December, The Threat. How the FBI Protects America in the Age of Terror and Trump. Wow, that's pretty pathetic. That is very pathetic. So we'll get to all of that. I want to start, though, today. You know, this is a core principle, just like the president, the Constitution. These are core principles now that are in jeopardy in this country. You know, we have as one of those core principles the presumption of innocence. That is the very foundation of our justice system, just like we have co-equal branches of government, just like there are enumerated powers directly in the Constitution. You see the parallels here. And if the president exercises his constitutional power and you have people that think that they are above the president, either sabotaging him or not cooperating with an executive order, well, in that case, they want to precipitate a constitutional crisis in the country, which is what this will do. But also the presumption of innocence, it is a very core fundamental principle of our republic. And you've got Democrats and you've got members of the media, and they're just so ever ready to rush to judgment and throw this principle out the window and say, just come out outright. I believe Professor Ford. Well, I'll be honest. I don't know what happened in 1982. I wasn't there. But when a serious allegation is made, I'm all in favor that she should have the opportunity to present her case before the Senate Judiciary Committee, as this is a lifelong appointment. And then so too should Judge Kavanaugh be given the opportunity, as he has already said publicly, to deny the allegations. And then, of course, you have, if it, at that point, if it's he said, she said, well, then you look at the entirety of one's life. And we've had many, many people now that knew Judge Kavanaugh back when, at the time when this last minute allegation has been made. And they say the exact opposite of Professor Ford in terms of the type of person that he is. People that have dated him in high school, people that knew him in high school, 65 women in high school, women that knew him and dated him in college, women that knew him and dated him in law school, people that knew him when he served in the Bush administration, people that have clerked for him, women that have clerked for him, women that have known him in the subsequent 36 years of his life, they paint a very different picture. But we're hearing a lot of crazy things. We got one senator actually saying that men need to shut up and that the Kavanaugh accuser needs to be believed. And I believe her. Is there any presumption of innocence here? No. Now, the Professor Ford doesn't remember where. She doesn't remember the time, the month, the year of what happened here or specifics. She just says that Judge Kavanaugh groped her over her bathing suit and other clothes that she had on, and she felt like it was an attempted rape. And then the other friend that she mentioned that was in the room says it didn't happen. And then people say he's got credibility problems because he had written a book about how in those years of his life he was an alcoholic and at times blacked out. But it's amazing. Let me play a montage. Well, first, then you got The View's Joyless Behar saying white men are protecting the probably guilty Brett Kavanaugh. These white men, old, by the way, are not protecting women. Republicans who stand by Kavanaugh, they're protecting a man who's probably guilty.
These people in Congress right now, in that Senate Judiciary Committee, these white men, old, by the way, mm-hmm. are not protecting women. They're protecting a man who is probably guilty. If you're not Judge Kavanaugh, take the lie detector test.
Yeah.
Prove it the way she did and the way Anita Hill did, that they were not lying. Let's see that from you. Or are you a coward?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, the problem with that is lie detector tests are not foolproof. I don't have a problem if he does or doesn't. Now, there are some other good questions raised by Lindsey Graham and others, especially about the polygraph. And I know that Professor Ford provided this information to the Washington Post, but hang on a second. She had said from the get-go that she didn't want to come forward at all. She didn't want her name involved in this. Then why did she take a polygraph back in August? Why did Dianne Feinstein not question Kavanaugh when they met privately for long periods of time? Why did Dianne Feinstein not mention it in the public hearings that we had? Why was this brought up with less than a week to go before the final vote for Kavanaugh? I also say you have a right to be skeptical. Why? Because we've seen this playbook before by Democrats. Chappaquiddick Ted Kennedy, know all about him. Yeah, the man, the great lion of the Senate that drove his car with another woman, not his wife, late at night off a bridge into, I guess it's Chappaquiddick River, where a woman, he got out of the car, left the woman to drown. There was a house with a light on across the street. He never went to the house. He never asked anybody for help. He didn't even tell anybody. He went home and he went to bed. The great champion of the Senate. And we know the smear and the lies that he told about Robert Bork. We heard the same thing. We watched Clarence Thomas and the Anita Hill accusations at the last minute. And his response to that. We watch every election year. We see the same thing. We see Republicans are racist, sexist, homophobic, xenophobic, Islamophobic. Republicans want dirty air and water, even though they drink it and breathe it. Republicans hate children. They want young kids to die. And they want to throw granny over the cliff. And they come up with ads, Paul Ryan lookalikes, throwing your grandmother over a cliff. It's the same playbook every election year, and it's the same playbook pretty much with every Supreme Court nomination. You know, as Lindsey Graham said to me, if Ms. Ford didn't want to come forward, never intended to come forward, never planned to come forward, why did she pay for a polygraph in August? Why did she hire a lawyer in August if she never intended to do what she's doing? Now, she just happened to hire an attorney, Ms. Katz, who is a staunch liberal activist and that spoke out often against Paula Jones. When she made the accusation, I thought we're supposed to believe people. Paula Jones eventually won a settled lawsuit. Bill Clinton paid her $850,000. Then she did apparently was advocating for Al Franken. What a creep he is. Why would you advocate for him? So certainly there's politics on the side of the attorney who hired the attorney. I think that now is an interesting question to ask, but I guess it's neither here nor there. But, you know, now that we have some interesting questions. Now, the Republicans have been trying to accommodate Professor Ford. Now, her lawyers said repeatedly that she would testify in public under oath, no conditions. Here, listen.
Will your client, Christine Ford, be willing to testify in public to the Judiciary Committee?
The answer is yes.
She is willing to do it. Has she been asked by any of the lawmakers to do that?
Right. So the point is she'd been asked many times. The lawyer said they'd do it publicly under oath. Okay. Now the bar changed last night when they sent a letter. By the way, anybody that's getting death threats or any type of intimidation, we've got to do everything we can do to protect Professor Ford and her family. It's horrible being in the public eye today. I'm sure Brett Kavanaugh's family's going through similar things. We don't know the answer. But I feel bad for anybody. I've lived it myself. It's not fun. But then you listen to your media, and the Democrats, we'll start with the Democrats, they don't care. They believe her. All they know is one letter that she wrote to the Washington Post and a letter that she wrote to Dianne Feinstein that they sat on since July. But they come out. No presumption of innocence. No. Rush to judgment.
This woman is to be believed. And you can believe Dr. Ford. This was attempted rape. And this is a woman who exhibits, Dr. Ford, courage, but the classic signs of post-traumatic stress.
I believe her. Listen, first of all, anybody who comes forward at this point to be prepared to testify in the United States Senate against someone who is being nominated to one of the most powerful positions in the United States government, that takes an extraordinary amount of courage.
Not only do women like Dr. Ford, who bravely comes forward, need to be heard, but they need to be believed. They need to be believed.
Let me just say right at the outset, I believe Dr. Ford. I believe the survivor here. There's every reason to believe her. She has come forward courageously and bravely.
You have no knowledge whether Brett Kavanaugh...
I believe Christine Ford because...
All right, I'm going to stop it there. I can go on. And the media, it's the same thing. The Democrats, same thing. I can tell you right now, based on his life, his background, and his experience, there's nothing that indicates this type of behavior at all. But I wasn't there. And I've got to believe in the presumption of innocence. If you let her make her case, the professor, you let the judge make his case, then you interview all the people that knew him at the time around him and his behavior for the last 36 years, I have faith the American people will make the right decision about who's telling the truth in this case. All right, we got a lot more to get to. 800-941-SEAN. All right, as we roll along, Sean Hannity Show, 800-941-SEAN is part of our program. You know, it is interesting to watch people on the left and see who they are and see core principles go by the wayside and all of the rush to judgment. We see that, for example, all the people shot in Chicago, you hear about Michael Brown and Ferguson. You hear about Trayvon Martin in Florida. You hear about Freddie Gray in Baltimore. But you got thousands of people shot in Chicago, but they don't politicize that. I mean, it's just, it's unbelievable. But these, this is why every American should be skeptical. Democrats have one playbook for elections and Supreme Court appointments: smear, slander, besmirch. Now, with that said, there's serious allegations. But the difference is I'm saying, I don't know. The difference is we are holding true to the presumption of innocence. You know, Judge Kavanaugh is willing to testify again. Now, all of a sudden, the bar has been raised. They're willing to testify under oath in public. Now that's changed. And the Republicans on the committee are trying to be accommodating. Okay, we'll let you do it behind closed doors. Well, you want behind closed doors? No answer on that. Would you like us to send people to you? They're trying to do everything possible so that Professor Ford can be heard, and then they can make an informed decision. You know, when Dianne Feinstein, listen to what she says, she actually says, I don't know if any of this is true.
I think it's really too bad that no one called her or called her lawyer. My understanding is she got emails. And this is a woman, and I really believe, who's been profoundly impacted by this. Now, I can't say everything's truthful. I don't know. Right. But I do know that they had to contact her lawyers.
Okay, the lawyer was, she was invited numerous times. I can't say that everything's truthful. I don't know. Now, because she said that, the left went nuts. How dare she say she doesn't know? You know, and then when you compare the Democrats' reaction to Judge Kavanaugh with, say, the reaction of Keith Ellison or Sherrod Brown or Bill Clinton, you see a very different reaction from them.
With only a kite, a house key, and wet hemp string, Benjamin Franklin captured lightning in a bottle. Over 260 years later, with a little resourcefulness, ingenuity, and grit, we're not only capturing energy from the sun and wind, we're storing it, ensuring Americans have the energy they need whenever they need it. Learn more about the nation's leader in energy storage at nexteraenergy.com.
Just four women on the committee. How does that impact the proceedings, if at all?
Of course it helps that there are women on that committee, but you know what? I expect the men in this country and the men in this committee, and many of them, believe me, because we all signed on to this letter to demand an FBI investigation. But really, guess who's perpetuating all of these kinds of actions? It's the men in this country. And I just want to say to the men in this country, just shut up and step up. Do the right thing for a change.
The men in this country, the senator from Hawaii, step up and, or sorry, shut up and step up. And you got The View's Joy Behar, Joyless Behar. White men are protecting a probably guilty Kavanaugh.
These people in
I don't want to hear it. Then we've got, you know, more Democrats. Oh, let's see. The genius that is Michael Moore outselling his stupid movies so he can fly around in his private jet. Then you've got, just when the Democratic Party can't stoop any lower, you know, he's actually claiming in all likelihood Brett Kavanaugh is a serial rapist. That's what he's claiming. Dianne Feinstein, Dick Durbin, Chuck Schumer. You know, this is your Democratic Party. This is the party that wants control of the House and the Senate in 48 days. It's pretty unbelievable. But I can tell you where this is all selective moral outrage. I mentioned Ted Kennedy earlier. Lion of the Senate, praised when he died, one of the greatest colleagues, one of the best senators, blah, blah, blah. Okay, he's such a, you know, look at his case. He drives a car off a bridge, at Chappaquiddick Bridge in Massachusetts. He literally gets into, right into a body of water. What's it called again?
It's called Poochie Pond.
Poochie Pond, okay.
Off the Dyke Bridge.
So he gets off, he gets out of the car, saves his life, says that he dove once or twice or a few times to try to get Mary Jo Kopechne out of the car, not his wife, but this other woman. I'm not implying anything. Tries to get her out of the car, but what does he do? He turns around and he goes home and goes to sleep, telling nobody, not one person, what had happened. The Lion of the Senate. praised by many of the Democrats that are in there today. You know, there was, look at the other hero. It's fascinating that Hillary Clinton, she has a right to be believed. Well, okay. Did you believe Paula Jones? No. Surrogates, Monica Lewinsky, Paula Jones, Jennifer Flowers, Kathleen Willey, Juanita Broderick. Juanita Broderick tweets out today, where's my investigation, FBI investigation into the rape of Bill Clinton? It's around the same time, just a little earlier with that particular case. But you got all these people, you got Feinstein, Schumer, Dick Durbin. They love the Clintons, love them. Case of Bill Clinton voted against his impeachment. They never went to interview Juanita Broderick or Paula Jones or Kathleen Willey or Jennifer Flowers. They were just called names. There was a war room set up to destroy the names of anybody that dared to say anything against candidate Bill Clinton and then President Bill Clinton. You know, now we've got a current U.S. Senator, Sherrod Brown. Now, back in the day, his ex-wife accused him of domestic abuse, fired a restraining order. There's a new political ad out. And in that ad, it goes through the history of Sherrod Brown. This happened, by the way, after the time, the allegation that they talk about with Brett Kavanaugh. Now, I know that they've kind of, they get along now is what I understand. They're divorced, but those court papers remain.
Now, Senator Sherrod Brown is facing his own Me Too movement from his past. These court records show sworn evidence that Brown's ex-wife accused him of abusing her. She said Brown assaulted her. A judge had to issue a restraining order. Later, she said Brown violated the court order, pushing, shoving, and bullying her. Brown claims it's a family matter, but his ex-wife, like other victims, has a right to be believed. This senator had to resign when evidence emerged he mistreated women. Why is Senator Brown different?
And in that case, they're talking about Al Franken. Abused his wife, pushed his wife, shoved his wife, bullied his wife. I don't know that, even though they now have put their differences aside, I don't know, probably for the betterment of the family and the children, whatever, but those are in the court papers. He did reach out, no comment. Senator Feinstein, to all these Democrats that now say that Professor Ford should be believed, no presumption of innocence for Judge Kavanaugh. There's also the DNC deputy chair. You know Keith Ellison. You've heard his name. He's running to be Minnesota's next attorney general. Ellison's ex-girlfriend recently accused him of serious physical and emotional abuse. And Ellison, by the way, apparently there are tapes and videos of this. Ellison went on to win the party's nomination for Minnesota AG. Now, it's interesting. Yesterday, and by the way, this is current. This has happened fairly recently. She tweets yesterday, the DNC, in other words, the very people that want to go back to 1982 and believe the woman that's made this last-minute allegation against Judge Kavanaugh, well, they haven't talked about Keith Ellison at all that I've seen. I reached out to the DNC in Ellison's office. I haven't received a comment yet. Anyway, the woman tweeted that the DNC refused to believe her accusations and even smeared, threatened, and isolated her. Now, this is the same party of, let's see, Ted Kennedy, Bill Clinton, Keith Ellison, Sherrod Brown. This is the party now that's trying to block Kavanaugh's confirmation over a charge just brought up that took place in 1982. The party of Harvey Weinstein, the party of Anthony Weiner and Elliot Spitzer, and Eric Schneiderman, and I can go on and on. You know, now the charges are serious. I believe in the presumption of innocence. I believe these charges should be taken seriously and that Professor Ford should have every right to testify, and the Republicans have literally gone above and beyond anything they can do. They're trying to accommodate Professor Ford. Her attorney said she testified publicly under oath. Well, she's now demanding an FBI investigation before any such discussion would take place. Now, the FBI has addressed this, and the FBI has been very clear about it, that the allegation doesn't involve any potential federal crime. So the FBI, it's not their jurisdiction. Now you have Democrats, according to the Washington Times and The Hill, as the FBI said, that's not what their jurisdiction is. But now Democrats are encouraging Professor Ford to contact the Montgomery County, Maryland police, whose jurisdiction would include the home of where Ford says that the crime took place. Well, we didn't have an exact location or an exact year. Lawrence Tribe is saying there's no statute of limitations in Maryland for rape or sexual assault of a minor under 16 years of age. His observation on Twitter set off a firestorm of demands the Maryland Attorney General get on the investigation. Kavanaugh critics are calling for Maryland Attorney General Brian Frosch to open an investigation. I have no doubt that Democrats will be actively pushing for that as well here. But if they really cared about sexual assault, then they would be consistent in their views. This would not be a political topic for them. I did take the time and I've interviewed Juanita Broderick, Kathleen Willey, Paula Jones, Jennifer Flowers, and other women. After interviewing them, in some cases numerous times, I've come to the conclusion I believe them all. I think that's why when an allegation is made, as old as it is, let's listen. And then Judge Kavanaugh is saying, yeah, he's willing to go under oath and he's willing to show up Monday. And he'll take all questions from the Democrats. And Professor Ford now has changed the standard, or at least the lawyers said, well, no, we're not going to do it unless the FBI does this, this, and this. But that's not what they said in the beginning. Now you have Democrats, Washington Post pointing out, they're all now turning against Dianne Feinstein as she plots the next step. Feinstein is dealing with questions about her decision to wait weeks before sharing the Ford letter, issuing only a cryptic statement last Thursday. This is now a week before the vote was supposed to take place yesterday or today. I'm glad we're going to have a hearing and get to the bottom of it. It would have been nice to have it done before, said Senator John Tester. He's up for re-election, though, in Montana. He doesn't want to lose. Raises a lot of questions. What are these Democrats in red states that supported Trump going to do? What's Joe Manchin going to do? What's Bill Nelson going to do? What's Claire McCaskill going to do? What's Joe Donnelly going to do? What's Heidi Heitkamp going to do? I listened to Hillary last night that she says the Kavanaugh sex assault accuser deserves the benefit of the doubt. Juanita Broderick said that she wants an FBI investigation into the rape allegation she made against Bill Clinton. You know, so there's a lot of doubts whether or not this is going to happen. But Dianne Feinstein, I can't say that everything is true. I don't know. I got her a lot of heat on social media and from the base of the Democratic Party. Because nobody knows because nobody was there. Now you have to look at all the other issues. Then we got the, I believe her. I believe she has a right to be believed. Well, does that mean that Judge Kavanaugh has no right to be believed at all? We rush to judgment, guilty as charged. You know, but this is to be predicted. I told you when the opening in the court came, I told you it would come to this. Because I know Democrats, I know liberals, I know who they are. That's why I have a right and you have a right to be skeptical. Treat it seriously, but I think the Republicans are doing everything possible to treat Professor Kavanaugh fairly. You know, things have gotten so bad on the deep state investigation. You know, the president now declassifying and unredacting key FISA documents. And that means FISA, the last FISA warrant, pages 10 through 12, 17 through 34. All the reports of Russian-related interviews with Bruce Orr, Christopher Steele, Jim Comey, Page, Strzok, McCabe, all their emails, all their texts, tens of thousands of them, that now the president has demanded that they be released. Now, he does have the constitutional authority to do so. Article 2, Section 1 of our Constitution gives the president unfettered authority over all executive branch matters. Well, the president is in charge of the executive branch of government. That would include the DOJ and the FBI. Executive power shall be vested in a president of the United States. This empowers the president to issue executive actions, orders, memorandums, proclamations, and directives to executive branch officials to take certain actions and refrain from taking other actions. President is everyone's superior in the executive branch. Failure to follow his order is an act of insubordination and meriting the person's termination. Moreover, the president can ultimately you know, has the ultimate authority over classification and declassification. By the way, the latest executive order on classification came from Obama. Executive Order 13526. You know, this is what the president's power. By the way, both Presidents Clinton and Obama declassified documents, and their orders were faithfully followed. Why do I say this? People like Adam Schiff, and you've got John Brennan are scared to death. And you got Andrew McCabe is writing a book. It'll be out in December. Remember, they impaneled the grand jury to look into potential crimes with him. The threat, how the FBI protects America in the age of terror and Trump. Wow. Guy that is under investigation for many crimes. Let me tell you, now we have members of Congress demanding the FBI, Department of Justice, Director of National Intelligence, refuse to comply with the president's executive order to declassify his constitutional authority. They want a constitutional crisis. They don't want to cooperate because they're going to be exposed. And we're going to learn that there was a deep state attempt to derail not only the election and steal the election from the American people to help their favored candidate who had committed crimes that they exonerated her without investigating her on. But then, of course, all the lies told the FISA court judges to get warrants based on what was frauds committed before the court, using funneled money to a op research firm, to a foreign national, Russian lies, and then used and distributed. Lisa Page said 9 months they had no evidence of any collusion whatsoever. But they don't want any of this information to come out. Now, in a letter intended to undermine the president's constitutional authority over the executive branch, you got the highest ranking Democrats, Adam Schiff, Nancy Pelosi, Mark Warner, Chucky Schumer, saying, don't listen to the president of the United States, the former CIA director. Don't listen to the president of the United States. They want a constitutional crisis because they don't want to get exposed. That's what this is. You know, there are polls out there showing a lot. You know, the generic ballot poll is now down to 4 points in the Hill. The Economist YouGov poll. You know what I think's happening? I think Americans are waking up to how bad this party would be in power in 48 days. If you're not motivated, they don't care about the forgotten men and women and the good economy and the safety and security of the country. They just want to destroy Trump. And they want their crumbs back. And they want open borders, and they want Obamacare, and they want investigations that'll be endless to divide the country. Sad. It's a very sad time for this country. You better get to the bottom of it before it's too late. You have the power. If you don't think this midterm is important, I've been warning you. It's more than important. It's more important than I even thought. Anyway, 800-941-SHAWN is our toll-free telephone number if you want to be a part of the program. Newt Gingrich is coming up at the top. We got Greg Jarrett and Sarah Carter coming up. James O'Keefe with new video. So much news is breaking today. Obviously, will she or will she not testify before the Senate Judiciary Committee? The committee is trying to be accommodating to Professor Ford. They have offered, even though her attorney said she would do so publicly under oath, they've offered to allow her to do it privately on Monday. They've also offered just in the last hour and a half that they would send people to her to interview her to get to the truth and the veracity of this last minute allegation that the Democrats knew of back in July. Here to weigh in on this and much more is former Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich, is with us. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. And I have to start. We can come back to that in a minute, but I want to start with three pieces of election news that I think are just so different from the liberal media. I just want to share it with our audience, Sean. The first is that yesterday in Texas, Pete Flores, Republican candidate, in a special election for the state Senate, defeated Pete Gallego. Now, this is a district which is 66% Hispanic. If you combine Hispanic and black votes, it is 73%. It is an 11% Hillary Clinton district. For 139 years, the Democrats held it. Thanks to the lieutenant governor and the Republican Party in Texas and a great candidate in Pete Flores, we won it yesterday. And so for those who tell us that there's a blue wave, tell me how we pick up a seat we've not had in 139 years, but the blue wave is coming. Second, in Florida, and I love this one because I've known Donna Shalala for years. She's a remarkably competent, interesting liberal. Now, was a great chancellor of the University of Wisconsin and is running for the House seat to try to fill Republican Congresswoman Ross Layton's seat. Well, she's now losing. According to the most recent survey, Maria Elvira Salazar, who is a local TV personality, is ahead by 7% in a district that Hillary Clinton carried by 20. And finally,
by the way, in that particular race against Donna Shalala, I heard that the Republican candidate is a rock star. It would be an instant star in the Republican Party.
I mean, first of all, she's a big star nationally.
Right.
She is a television personality. She has for years been delivering the news in Miami. As you know, my daughter Kathy lives in Key Biscayne and is watching this race. And Maria Elvira Salazar is just going to be a big winner. And this is a seat. I mean, if they can't pick up a 20% Clinton seat, they have a huge problem. Finally, in California, now we're talking about the three biggest states in the country, California, Texas, and Florida. In California, young Kim now leads Gil Cisneros by 51 to 41 in a district that Hillary carried by 8%.
By the way, she's a great candidate, too.
Replace her.
Yeah, she's an amazing candidate.
She's a wonderful candidate. And by the way, she's a great tribute to the Republican State Leadership Council, which has been growing state legislative candidates everywhere in the country. And she's a great example of one of the people that they have helped win elections. And she is now going to be, I think, the next congresswoman.
Let me ask you, I have some news, too. In Texas, you know, there's been a lot of talk about the Democratic challenger to Senator Ted Cruz, but there's a poll out today that has Cruz up by 9. I would think that the people of Texas have got to be smart and keep Ted Cruz in Congress. We need him there. He's been an amazing ally of the president. I know they had a pretty hostile campaign against each other, but they have put all those differences aside. And he's been, frankly, one of the strongest constitutional voices we have. There is also a new poll out that actually shows it's only a 4-point race in the generic ballot polling. According to U2.gov poll that came out today, which I think is particularly interesting to me because you're right about the blue wave. Now, with that said, Mr. Speaker, I agree with you. I think that this election needs to be nationalized behind 5 or 6 big ideas. And that is that they will make the tax cuts permanent, that they will fully fund the wall if they're elected, that they will help the president in the case of the Senate continue to pick originalist justices to the court. I think that there are other security issues that can be put forward, and maybe energy independence is another one. What would your 5 big items be?
Well, I think, first of all, you've done great work on this, and you're in the right general direction. Well, let me just point out to everybody listening to us, you want to go and make the case to your friends and neighbors. You have a party led by Donald Trump trying to appoint constitutional conservatives to the Supreme Court. And you have in Brett Kavanaugh somebody who fits that. Now, by contrast, you have a Democratic Party so desperate, so crazed, that at the last minute, they come up with an allegation that is 35 years old, and now you have the Republicans doing exactly the right thing. And President Trump, I hope he'll stay this disciplined. He has been perfect in saying, look, the accuser deserves her day in court. She deserves her time to explain her case. We all owe her the respect for doing it. And as a result, Senator Grassley has said, look, we're going to postpone the vote in the committee. We'll have a special hearing on Monday. And now let's bring in the accuser and see. At which point, of course, we now are living through, well, they may not show up. And so you have a dual question. One is, how can Senator Feinstein, one of the most senior members of the Senate, have sat on this information since July, except for the purpose of screwing things up and slowing things down in order to stop a constitutional conservative federal justice on the Supreme Court? Second, if this person is not willing to show up, not willing to testify, not willing to explain, I think the average American is going to say, this is really obvious. And the result will be that Brett Kavanaugh next week at some point will be confirmed for the Supreme Court.
You know, Mr. Speaker, there's a lot in play and there's a lot at stake in all of this. And there are certain things that I know about the Democratic Party now, almost 30 years in radio, 23 plus at Fox, whatever it is, since 1996. And every election, and I back it up with tape and evidence, Republicans are racist, sexist, misogynistic, homophobic, xenophobic, Islamophobic. They want dirty air and water. They want children to die, and they want to kill grandma and throw her over the cliff. And when it comes to Supreme Court nominations, now I do agree with you. I do believe that Professor Ford should be heard. It's a serious allegation. She's been given every opportunity. Her lawyer said she would testify under oath publicly. Now they've raised the bar. We need an FBI investigation. The FBI said this is not something within their purview to investigate. It's also 36 years ago. Now they want the Maryland Attorney General involved here. But it seems when you look at Ted Kennedy and the treatment of Robert Bork, and you look at the treatment of one of the greatest justices in our time, Clarence Thomas, and this last minute they had this since July, I think people also have a right to be skeptical of the Democrats. And they're all, you know, all these people that come out and say that they believe her. I believe her. First of all, she only told the story in The Washington Post. She doesn't remember even the year or where this all had occurred. The one witness says it didn't happen, although he has, I guess, had drinking problems at the time. But OK, the judge denies it. Whatever happened to the presumption of innocence in this country? It's a little scary to me.
Well, the thing that's fascinating to watch is the first 48 or 72 hours, this story was a liberal Democrat's dream, and everything was stopped. And on the articles I was reading, they're talking about how the crisis in the Kavanaugh nomination, et cetera. Then, after about 72 hours, it began to be obvious that the story was not being reinforced. But you weren't getting people to come out as witnesses for her. You weren't getting corroboration. You weren't getting, excuse me.
Yeah. I know, I'll fill in the blank. By the way, Newt's has a bad throat tonight. Let me just help you out. I've been there myself. It's like, oh, I need to cough. The only difference is I have a cough button and you don't. So when
I apologize.
No.
I apologize to the audience.
No, that's okay.
And I hope your technicians can cover up most of it. Anyhow, my point is going to be that the average person at first legitimately gives the accuser the benefit of the doubt. And it takes courage to come out and say this.
Right.
It takes courage to feel like you have to testify. And so people want to make sure, and I think that President Trump has been exactly right in his tone.
Let's, I agree,
slow things down. Let's make sure we get to the truth. Let's give her the opportunity. But what's happened is, as people rolled out the red carpet and said, hey, you can come in and testify in public. You can come in and testify in private. We'll do everything we can to accommodate you.
Right. I'm sorry about your cough. I know this is hard.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No. It's
all of a sudden.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, people have said, wait a second, this doesn't sound right. And that's why in the last 48 hours, I think you saw the tide turn pretty dramatically. And people, even Republican senators who had been skeptical, are now swinging back and saying, well, look, she has to testify by Monday, or I'm a yes, because I'm not just going to have Senator Feinstein manipulate the system at the last minute in order to block everything. And I think, if anything, it's now starting to really weaken the Democrats and put the Trump state Democrats in the Senate in a real box. I mean, do they stick with the left and a story that has no support, no validity. If, now, again, we have to wait and see until Monday, but I think the burden now has shifted from Kavanaugh to his accuser.
We'll take a break. We'll come back more with Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich. And we do hope you feel better. I know you've had a cough for the last number of days. All right, as we continue, former Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich, 48 days till Election Day. There's a lot at stake. You're right. It's now a four-point race. And the generic ballot poll that came out in the Hill, it was in the Hill today. And Republicans are maybe in this race. I think what you pointed out earlier is true. Let me ask you about, we now have former CIA Director John Brennan. We now have Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and Adam Schiff and Mark Warner and others demanding that the DOJ and FBI refuse to comply with the president's declassification and unredaction order on FISA warrants. But they're basically now the president has Article 2, Section 1 powers of the Constitution. The executive powers vested in a president of the United States that empowers him to issue executive actions, orders, memorandums, proclamations, directives to the executive branch officials to make certain actions and refrain from actions. He's in charge.
Look, I think what you have to recognize, and you see this in a number of areas, but this is the most recent one, that the left-wing Democrats are prepared to destroy the Constitution, eliminate the rule of law, break any sense of routine, understandable behavior in order to try to get Trump. I mean, it is astonishing, and frankly, reminds me of the moment in the great play A Man for All Seasons, where Sir Thomas Moore explains to his son-in-law that if you're willing to break the law to get after the devil, what stops you once you've broken every single law and the devil turns on you because you no longer have the law to protect? These are people who, either because they're utterly, totally ignorant, which is very possible given our modern schools.
Well, I don't think they're ignorant. Because this is they want to precipitate a constitutional crisis.
Well, it is. I mean, look, it is a constitutional crisis. That's what we're living through. We have a deliberate continuing effort to create a bureaucratic coup d'etat, to repudiate the American people and impose the wishes of left-wing activists and bureaucrats on the United States of America. I mean, we should understand that. We're in the middle of a struggle right now that is outside anything we have seen since the Civil War, and it is an enormous problem. And these people are playing. They're like children playing with a nuclear weapon. They have no idea the dangers that they're running, and what they could do to the United States of America. And this is true whether it's Nancy Pelosi, or it's Chuck Schumer, or it's Elizabeth Warren. I mean, all these people wander around and they say things, which, if you think about them, represent the end of the United States as a constitutional republic governed by the rule of law. And it is an enormous threat to our country.
All right, Mr. Speaker, thanks for being with us. Hope you feel better. James O'Keefe, Sarah Gregg, all coming up in your call straight ahead. All right, 25 till the top of the hour, 800-941-SEAN. We've got incredible deep state news. Sarah Carter, John Solomon, and Greg Jarrett, we're all working on a big piece. Greg and Sarah will join us and talk about it. So yesterday, our friends over at Project Veritas, James O'Keefe, well, they released in what is now a series showing resistance within our government, within the Trump administration. Now, this all came to light when the New York Times had this big anonymous and we're working to undermine the president's agenda. We're preventing him from doing his job. We're making his job harder. And then yesterday, we have a Department of State employee who apparently now has been verified. He's now being investigated. And the Department of State or State Department says that they take these charges seriously and people are not allowed to do. We had a guy on tape literally admitting that he works for a left-wing resistance group about Democratic Socialists. And it works for the State Department, as of yesterday, Democratic Socialists for America, and is doing that work on our dime and admits it all on tape. It'll be interesting to see how that career ends. The problem is, it's not just in the White House. It's not just in the State Department. Project Veritas has now released the second in a series showing the resistance within the Trump administration from Democratic Socialists of America, this time within the Department of Justice. DOJ employee literally says co-workers are resisting Trump from within the Department of Justice. And we got video footage of all of it. We'll play some of it on TV tonight, of a Department of Justice employee discussing the resist movement within the agency. It was all captured by the cameras of Project Veritas as an explosive series they're now unfolding every day called The Deep State. You have a DOJ paralegal, Allison Herbar is her name, and was asked by an undercover Project Veritas journalist whether or not to follow DOJ employees, fellow DOJ employees, were doing anything to fight against Trump. Oh, I mean, a lot of us talk about it, so most of them are like vaguely politically involved, so they may support candidates, do fundraisers, and some of them actually canvass, she goes on to say. And then there's a lot of talk about how we can, like, resist from the inside and a lot of kind of pushback. Anyway, this is the leader of the D.C. chapter for Democratic Socialists for America. And back in June, she made headlines when she led that unhinged protest against the Department of Homeland Security Secretary Kristen Nielsen at a Mexican restaurant. She works at the Department of Justice. We're going to play this tape just released, and this is not good for the country. You have people that are hired on our payroll that are working actively to undermine the president, the Justice Department, the State Department, and basically run a rogue government. Listen.
I actually was talking to someone before, like, I left my house. Yeah, and he was just telling me, like, what's going on and what they're thinking and policy stuff.
Like, what can we do to slow Trump down? Like,
yeah, I mean, it helps me because then I can tell other people and then we're all prepared for when it happens and we can, like, do something.
Awesome. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
One of our members, she's, like, pretty negative in the justice thing. So.
Oh, yeah?
These
kids will never be reunited with their parents because Kirsten Nielsen's staff doesn't think it's necessary to make them.
I'm a paralegal at the Department of Justice. I work around the corner from the court, so that's how I got involved.
So since a lot of your coworkers are, like, more leftist, are they trying to do anything?
Yeah, I mean, I would describe, I have a couple socialist coworkers who are, like, they joined DSA.
Yeah.
Really?
Great. But most of them are just sort of, like, regular liberals.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are lawyers, which is, like, not the most radical group.
Okay. But are they doing anything to, like, fight against Trump?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of us talk about it. So most of them are, like, vaguely politically involved, so they might support candidates and do fundraisers. And some of them canvass.
Okay.
And then there's a lot of talk at work about, like, how we can resist inside.
Yeah.
And there's, like, a lot of kind of, like, pushback. Like, is this from inside?
Yeah.
We have a member who works in the people that distribute food stamps.
Mm-hmm.
And they can, like, take that away. And they're so in what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it is on.
What do you say? What do you
I wait
say
until I just submit work for people on the 38th day.
Yeah.
The 38th, we're just doing five. Sometimes they do one day for that.
Yeah. And what does that do, though?
It just means that they can get their payment. So it's, like, very small. Mine is just not like a company.
Yeah.
But, like, that means what they're doing means that people are going to be able to stay on food stamps.
Which is interesting.
Which is, like, really important.
In April, Raybar led a protest on the home of a D.C. lobbyist.
Jeremy Wiley is a lobbyist for Core Civic. Is everybody ready? Woo! Let's go.
How they found Wiley's address was potentially felonious.
So we looked it up and we found a different address for him, and it turns out they sold that house and moved in, like, the last 6 months. So when we sent someone a secondary address, their license plate was outside, and it had a bumper sticker for a school we knew their kid went to.
Okay. Thanks.
I know that's very creepy, but it was very useful information. So we ran the license plate, and it was a car registered to Jeremy Wiley. So yeah, his car is parked outside a house that he does own as of very recently, and someone saw him through the window, which was also very helpful.
Also, we're able to run license plates through, like...
We cannot do it officially.
How do you guys find these people's addresses? Like, is this his personal home?
So Allison is a paralegal, so her living is researching people.
Okay.
So she's very good at researching people. So they just found them. They find the companies, and they find the people that run the companies, and they find their home addresses.
Got it.
She's, okay. Like, licenses and other software.
How did you even find this place? Like, is it just all online?
We use public information and research, yeah. Anything in the Wisdom Bind. When I'm off the hot mic, I can tell you guys about our research process.
Because Cliff was telling me that she uses LexisNexis, but that's like a paid program.
Mm-hmm. I mean, she has used it. She uses it probably more.
So that doesn't work. It's not like DSA got a LexisNexis.
No.
Okay. So I was thinking, like, that's, I mean, pretty expensive if you get it for DSA, but I think it's great that she's able to have that resource at work and use it for DSA.
Yeah, and, you know, that's the kind of thing that you would get fired for if you come over.
Yeah.
The things that people know about her and her activities outside of this organization, like, people do not have the silver bullet or, like, the smoking gun or whatever. If they were able to get proof of that, you know. So, I mean, we're all walking that line.
All right, joining us now is James O'Keefe, and he is the CEO and head of Project Veritas. All right, day two. Now, just like yesterday, when you heard from the Department of State, you've now heard from the Department of Justice today. What'd they say?
Well, we had people inside the DOJ. Allison Rabar works for the Antitrust Division, and she's basically reportedly using these government resources to resist Trump. She says, as you said, there's a lot of pushback from the inside, but we try to resist his policies, and there are colleagues who are, quote, slowing what they do, slowing Trump down. And there's even an admission in here that they're targeting political opponents, running license plates unofficially, and using LexisNexis, which is on her work computer, is what these DSA, Democratic Socialist people say, that the DOJ person uses the work computer at the Department of Justice and LexisNexis to target political opponents. And in the video, there's this admission that's the kind of thing that you would get fired for if people were able to get proof of it, is what they say in this video. That's a pretty massive deal that they're using government resources to target people. And what this Department of Justice woman says is, she says, I can't get fired. She says, you can't get fired at the Department of Justice. So, Sean, we have gotten a statement from the DOJ an hour ago. I actually called them myself and got a statement, and they're taking it very seriously. They referred the matter to the Inspector General.
Well, I mean, that's going to be interesting, and let's see what happens there. Why do you see this as dangerous, and how widespread is it? I know you have – how many days are you going to be releasing new information? Can I ask that?
Yes, of course you can, and I always try to give you exclusive on these things, and so we're releasing another one tomorrow. I think that the conduct and the behavior and the statements made in tomorrow's video are the most inflammatory. And it involves another agency. And why does this matter, Sean? It's what I said yesterday on your program. I think that they're thwarting a duly elected administration, and they're taking it amongst themselves to there's no equal justice under the law. They're choosing who they should go after, and they're thwarting a duly elected administration. They work in the executive branch, so they work for the people. It's the will of the people. And I think, you know, it may not surprise the people listening to the show, but it's visually confirming what we all suspected to be the case. And that's very, very important in this day and age. With all these documents coming out, we have to see the faces of the people and the agencies. And here it is. And it's serious. We've gotten a comment from the State Department and the Department of Justice have both issued statements saying they're looking into it. These people probably ought to be fired.
Well, I think you're 100% right. I mean, and not only that, they're using taxpayer dollars in all of this. All right, more with James O'Keefe. He is the head of ProjectVeritas.com. You have the former chief of staff for the Centers of Medicaid Services admitting that a little resistance in the federal government and friends leaked things to her, and yeah, saying she sends out leaked information to combat new policy. Let's play that.
There's like a little resistance
inside.
My last day was January 19th, so like right before inauguration.
Do you have any friends that are still work there?
Yeah, I have a few.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Can they screw them over?
No, but
but they give me, like, information.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
Nice.
Your friend nailed you the policy that was about to come into effect. What policy was it?
It was the policy that allows the work requirement.
She mailed it to you in the physical, like, snail mail, like the post office, and then you got it. That's, like, awesome. That's,
yeah,
like,
it was, like, kind of like the Nixon deep throat type of thing.
Is the resistance just your friend? Or is it, like, a bunch of people?
It's, like, a bunch of people.
Oh, so they were leaking information to you.
To help on the outside.
And then let me add one more. You know, she works for the State Department, and this individual... Members work for the DOJ. We're all over. Let's play that one, too.
One of our members works for the DOJ. She's, like, pretty big into the microjustice thing.
Oh, yeah?
So what we have here, James, seems like a orchestrated effort on all of these things.
Yeah, it is orchestrated, Sean, because they're all part of this group called Democratic Socialists of America. This is the group that Cortez is part of. So how we got to these federal deep state people is we just simply got into this DSA group and we found many federal workers who are part of DSA who were quite arrogant, demonstrating a lot of hubris. I mean, they were just completely open about it, but it was not easy. They're kind of saying, my supervisor doesn't know. On one hand, we can't get fired. On the other hand, you hear a lot of other statements where, hey, listen, I do this. Alison Raybar at the Department of Justice, if she uses the government computer, the DOJ can find that out in 15 minutes. Someone right now can just look at her LexisNexis and see what she's doing. So there's this theme, Sean, where there's no accountability. No one actually does anything. No one drops the hammer or fires them. And there's a greater issue here, Sean, which is that nothing can happen to these people and they
know it. But they even say that. Alison Raybar said that, you know, what's kind of lucky is that the DOJ, we can't get fired.
We can't get fired at the Department of Justice. And I've been told by sources that this is exactly the type of thing that Jeff Sessions would do something about because it's in his own universe there. But I don't have the power to fire these people. I just have the power to expose them in a way that's inflammatory and that outrages people. So it is going to be very interesting because sources have also told me the statement I got from the Department of Justice today that this is very concerning and we're referring to Inspector General goes farther than what most people get the DOJ to do. So a very interesting development here.
Well, it's going to get worse for everybody, too. Can you tell us what department comes out tomorrow?
It's a government oversight agency. And speaking of the Inspector General's office,
does the series end tomorrow?
No. No, it doesn't.
Does the series end this week?
No.
Does the series end in 2 weeks?
Well, you know, the news cycle is so quick these days. I have to play it day by day, Sean, but I'm trying to break through a media firewall as you do a very good job of every day. And that's not an easy thing to pull off. And I have to get reactions from the government agencies. I have to, you know, release this a little bit of time. We're making serious progress. Tomorrow's video is inflammatory. I'm really excited to release it. I'm sad that it's so bad, but I'm hoping that it'll really galvanize reform here.
All right. Thanks so much, James O'Keefe. Great work. ProjectVeritas.com will show this footage tonight on Hannity, 9 Eastern, on the Fox News Channel. You got a deep state within a deep state. It doesn't seem to ever end.
In order to get a FISA search warrant, you need an affidavit signed by a career federal law enforcement officer who swears that the information in the affidavit is true and correct to the best of his knowledge and belief. And that's the way we operate. And if it's wrong, sometimes it is, if you find out there's anything incorrect in there, that person is going to face consequences.
All right, that was Rod Rosenstein back in May saying that if there's something wrong in a FISA warrant, there's going to be consequences for it. We have every reason to believe that almost everything in the FISA applications, 4 of them on Carter Page to get inside the Trump campaign, were based on false Hillary Clinton, bought and paid for, foreign agent put together, Russian lies. But now we're awaiting the release of these important documents, which should, you know, now rock the deep state at its core. And it's interesting to watch the people that we know are going to be impacted by all of this. You know, you got Shifty Schiff, the Mr. TV himself. He's out there screaming that that this will put our country at risk and this is evidently of no consequence to the president. Of course it's consequence to the president. What are they afraid of? Why is he so scared? Why is former CIA Director Brennan, you know, feeling the heat so much that he's calling upon government bureaucrats to actually defy the president's orders, which he has full, complete authority to do? Now, it's getting even more interesting as you got Andrew McCabe. We know he has a grand jury convened in D.C. looking into his lying and his leaking and probably issues involving this. Certainly the questions that were revealed in the latest page struck memos. Oh, we got to get this to Andy fast. So, you know, while he's acting director after the firing of Comey, and we can use these things as a pretext, and then they could talk about, you know, chargeable offenses. Anyway, he's writing a book now. The Threat, How the FBI Protects America in the Age of Terror and Trump. Wow. Pretty amazing. And that's coming out. Now we have more news that just broke. You have Schumer and Pelosi and others, congressional Democrats, demanding the FBI, the Department of Justice, the Director of National Intelligence, refuse to comply with the president's order, which is to declassify explosive Russiagate documents unless they get to review it first. Really? Well, this has been now subpoenaed in some cases for over a year, and they're demanding that under no circumstances should President Trump be given access to the secret Russiagate material. Well, guess what? He has the authority to do it. I believe it's under Article 2. Sarah Carter, Fox News investigative reporter, contributor, and he has the number one best-selling book, The Russian Hoax. Greg Jarrett is with us, Fox News legal analyst. Thank you both. Let's start from a legal standpoint, Greg, if I may, and start with a simple question. They're demanding that the FBI, DOJ not comply with the president's order. I think there are numerous areas where constitutionally the president has the authority to do so. One is he has the power to declassify, A, and he has the power to release it, B, and hasn't this been done in the past by Democrats?
Oh, sure it has. And the legal authority for the president to make these decisions and order executive branch officials to comply with his order derives from Article 1, Section 1 of the Constitution. It says the executive power shall be vested in the President of the United States. It goes on to explain that it is his job to be in charge of the executive branch and to enforce all laws. And it would be rank insubordination for anyone in the executive branch to defy his orders. And if they do that, they should be fired immediately. And that would include Dan Coats, the Director of National Intelligence, if he decides to defy the president. It would certainly mean Rod Rosenstein, the Deputy Attorney General, who has much reason to continue to obstruct these documents because they likely incriminate him, and also Christopher Wray, whose interest in obstructing Congress is to cover up the impropriety and, I think, illegality on the part of FBI officials. So they should all be fired immediately if they do not comply.
Sarah, I'm hearing it even gets worse than this, that there potentially is out there, if you will, two sets of record among the upper echelon of the FBI, one that was real and one that was made for appearances. Is there any truth to this?
Absolutely, Sean. I think that right now, especially with the number of sources that I've been speaking with, as well as some others, that there is evidence indicating that the FBI had separate sets of books. And if that is the case, I mean, it certainly appears that this, as Greg has already stated over and over again, that there could be and there will be criminal charges pressed against people.
Well, so in other words, they're saying one thing publicly, but the real story, the real set of books is held privately among how many people are we talking about and how high up in the echelon of the DOJ FBI?
I think there are quite a few people, especially higher-ups. I will not name names until all of the evidence is out there, but there were certain people above Peter Strzok and above Lisa Page that were aware of this. I also believe that there are people within the FBI that have actually turned on their former employers and are possibly even testifying and reporting what happened inside the FBI to both the inspector general and possibly even a grand jury.
What, you know, Greg, I mean, that would then mean at that point that this is a coup, that this is an attempted, you know, look, I think we already know that there has been enormous amounts of effort, time, influence and abuse of power. One, to allow their favored candidate get away from crimes that other Americans would never be exonerated from. Then we know that it's all goes back to Hillary, you know, funneling money to Fusion GPS through the law firm, hiring a foreign national, which is Christopher Steele. Christopher Steele using Russian lies, putting together the dossier. Then we know that the dossier contents were spread before the election for the purpose of really indoctrinating and misinforming the American people to influence them and their voting decision, if that's not bad enough. And we know it was used as the basis for four FISA warrants against Carter Page, a Trump campaign associate. And all of the information presented to the court was that phony dossier and these phony manufactured press reports from the same sources. So basically, it is the dossier. And they never verified, never corroborated it. And then they also had a leak, media leak strategy. And Lisa Page said they didn't have any information of any collusion 9 months into the investigation. So they start leaking for the purpose of what? To get the special counsel, which we know Comey also did. And then it seems like now they're, you got a group of people that think that they know better than the American people. And they've got two separate, you know, groups of books. One tells the truth and the other's for public consumption. That's a lie.
Well, if they have two separate books, then they're obstructing not only Congress, but they're obstructing justice. You know, this whole Trump-Russia investigation is a case study in how personal and political bias motivated the FBI and the Department of Justice to abuse their authority, to target Trump, to spy on his campaign. They broke the law in the process. You know, as I explain in my book, The Russia Hoax, James Comey's FBI department guidelines were completely violated by him and McCabe and Strzok and Page. They never had the legal basis to launch the investigation. They had no probable cause, no evidence of crimes. They invented and exaggerated facts based almost entirely on a fabricated dossier that they knew was from a British spy who was not credible, and all they had to do was read it, and they would have said this is garbage. But they didn't care. They used it to frame Donald Trump, and that is a violation of multiple felony codes in the United States criminal code. All of these people who were involved in framing Trump need to be brought before a grand jury by a serious and legitimate prosecutor and be held accountable.
So what are we going to learn then? Let me ask Sarah first, then Greg, we'll get your take. What are we going to learn when the declassification takes place, the unredacted materials are released, and the American people see it, although I'm getting many sources telling me that the DOJ and FBI are trying to slow walk this and roll this out as absolutely slowly as possible, and even trying desperately to take out some... well, damning information that is in them.
I think, Sean, in fact, I know what we're going to see is an extraordinary abuse of power, one that we have never seen the likes of in the history of our country coming from officials within the FBI and the DOJ. There will be an enormous amount of exculpatory evidence that should have been turned over to the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court. And as for the slow rolling, I am hearing the same. But remember, this is a direct order from the President of the United States. He is asking for all of this information to be declassified. They are fighting him tooth and nail to the point where John Brennan and others have literally come forward asking the agencies not to cooperate with the President. President's order that he has under his own authority. I can tell you this, that the people, my sources, who have seen these documents in full, who have the classification to look at these documents and have never divulged to me the classified portions of those documents, said there is nothing in those requests that would violate national security. The only reason why they are throwing temper tantrums at the DOJ, the FBI,
they're going to be exposed.
The intelligence community. Yeah.
They're going to be exposed. Well, what they're doing here by saying don't cooperate is they're really saying to create a and precipitate a constitutional crisis. And as we continue with Sarah Carter and Greg Jarrett, what about the new book? We now know that a grand jury has been convened as it relates to Andrew McCabe, former deputy FBI director, same guy that Page and Strzok were writing. We got to get Andy to act now while he's in charge after Comey was fired, and we got to find chargeable offenses, and we can use this as a pretext to go interview people. Well, he's going to have a book out in December, The Threat: How the FBI Protects America and the Age of Terror and Trump. Really? And this guy, the likelihood of him going to jail or being charged, indicted, pretty high, I would say. Greg Jarrett.
All these guys want to cash in. James Comey certainly did, to the tune of millions of dollars. And, you know, his book was a vainglorious exercise in deception, which is what he is really good at. And McCabe's will be the same. I'd be shocked if McCabe isn't criminally indicted, so he's trying to make some money in advance. These are unprincipled, unscrupulous individuals who had no business serving in government, and their track record demonstrates just how corrupt they were. You know, I wrote a column yesterday on FoxNews.com, and it's, I believe it's on your website, Sean, that it's entitled, If Rod Rosenstein Defies President Trump's Order to Declassify Documents, He Should Be Fired. In the alternative, you know, these people, if they really feel as though the order to declassify it offends them and they can't and shouldn't do it, even though the law dictates they must, then they should simply resign their positions. We remember during Watergate when the attorney general refused to fire the independent counsel Archibald Cox.
Yeah.
Upon order by Nixon. Well, what did he do? I forget his name. But at any rate, he resigned. And so did the number two. And finally, it went down the list until they found Richardson was his name, Elliot Richardson. I mean, that's how the system is supposed to work.
Yeah. All right. Last word, Sarah.
Look, you by the way, I don't think there's any more question of what was going on here.
The feds may redact documents despite Trump's request, by the way. That's what they keep saying.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But I mean, but we're going to see a big fight here nonetheless. And this isn't just about a witch hunt. I know Donald Trump says that over and over again. Everybody says this is a witch hunt. As I said the other night on your show, Sean, there is certainly clear evidence that indicates that this was an attempted silent coup, or what the CIA calls a white coup, a bloodless coup.
This is a soft coup overseas. Yeah, yeah. You know, and then the president doesn't have an attorney general that backs him up. It'll be interesting to see if they want to defy the president and create a constitutional crisis in the country, because that's the next step. Last word, Greg.
Yes, and what will happen is these documents will be provided to Congress, supposedly declassified and unredacted. If any of them are indeed redacted, Congress will complain to the president, and the president should then fire the individuals who did not fully comply with his order to declassify. That's what should happen, and I agree with you and with Sarah that they will try to slow roll this and delay it, hoping that the political winds may shift, the buy time, maybe control of Congress will change hands in the upcoming election. This is what Rod Rosenstein has done throughout the last year. He has every reason to suppress these records because, as I said before, they will likely incriminate him.
All right. Thank you all for being with us. We'll have a lot more on this tonight on Hannity. Will they precipitate the deep state, a constitutional crisis, and try and defy a president and his clear constitutional authority? 800-941-SEAN is our number. We'll get to your phone calls coming up next. A lot more on Hannity tonight. Also following the story of the accuser of Judge Kavanaugh. We'll have the latest on that coming up and much more straight ahead.
Listen to this show one time, and you're Hannitized. Sean Hannity is back on the radio.
All right, 25 now till the top of the hour. 800-941-SEAN is our toll-free telephone number. As promised, we're going to get to the calls. We're following two big stories. Democrats now threatening and asking the FBI, the DOJ, well, don't follow the Constitution. Don't let the president, don't give him fully declassified information. Take out all the stuff that will protect the deep state. And let's create a constitutional crisis, even though clearly the Constitution, Article 2, Section 1, gives the president complete and full authority of his office to demand that these documents that he's asked for be released unclassified and unredacted. That's how desperate they're now all becoming. Obviously, a lot of people know that there's damaging information in these specific documents, and they don't want you to see it. You know, where's Spartacus? Where's Cory Booker now? Anyway, we're following that story. The latest on Professor Ford and the demand that the FBI look into this particular case before she's willing to testify. That's not what she our lawyers said before. Actually, having tape of a lawyer say, no, she's going to be willing to testify publicly. Now, the Senate has offered to send somebody over a group of people to interview her now. They also said she can do it in private, but her attorney, Deborah Katz, had said that, yes, she's willing to testify publicly.
Will your client, Christine Ford, be willing to testify in public to the Judiciary Committee?
The answer is yes.
She is willing to do it. Has she been asked by any of the lawmakers to do that?
That's interesting. The answer is no.
She's not been asked, but she is now willing to do so. Is she in conversations with people? Have the lawmakers reached out and tried to talk to her via phone?
We've heard from no one. We've seen various statements made on television, but and statements that are being bandied about for political reason, but no one's asked her. No.
Deborah, let me ask you this. Would your client be willing to testify under oath in front of the full Senate Judiciary Committee?
My client will do whatever is necessary to make sure that the Senate Judiciary Committee has the full story and the full set of allegations to allow them to make a fully informed decision.
But testifying in public under oath in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee with the American people watching, that's an enormous amount of pressure. Is she willing to go that far?
She's willing to do what she needs to do. She is willing to hopefully tell her story in a manner that is a fair proceeding.
Well, we now know she's been asked numerous times by the Senate Judiciary Committee, many, many times, and even after they had said on their own, she's willing to testify under oath in public. And last night when the letter came out from the attorney, who is, by the way, well known for her political activism. That's the attorney Katz in this particular case, Deborah Katz. I mean, that's a woman that didn't believe Paula Jones, interestingly. It's a woman that supported Al Franken, interestingly. So I don't see there's a consistency in her position, but this is, again, 36 years ago. And, you know, there's political considerations here. What does this now mean for red state Democrats like Joe Manchin and Bill Nelson and Heidi Heitkamp and Claire McCaskill and Joe Donnelly and others? What does it mean for their candidacies here? And it seems, I'll tell you, a person that I think has raised the best questions is Susan Collins. It's not fair to anybody that they had this and they withheld this information since July. And I think there are other points that are being made that really need to be paid attention to. We now know that Lindsey Graham, when he was on my show two nights ago, raised concerns about the polygraph that she had taken back in August. And experts, by the way, contacted by Fox, I've known this myself many times over the years, that while a polygraph can be useful, they're ultimately a fallible tool. A lot of courts don't even allow them to be admissible. And of course, as well-intentioned individuals come to believe, you know, their stories are false, they then have instances where they can take polygraph tests, people can beat it. That's just a fact. Anyway, they did provide it to the Washington Post as they released their article. She took the polygraph, she says, on the advice of her attorney. Katz didn't respond to numerous requests for Fox News concerning the polygraph. You know, one good question that Lindsey Graham raised is, you know, that can cost anywhere from $500 to $1,000. Now, remember, Ms. Ford, Professor Ford, said she didn't want to come forward, never intended to come forward. Well, then why was she paying for a polygraph back in August? Why did she hire a lawyer back in August? Who paid for that lawyer? Is anybody paying for that lawyer? Who arranged for her to get somebody who's very politically connected in her counsel, Katz? And then Democratic politicians now, several people, you know, holding on to that. But, you know, if you just look at what this whole thing has been from the get-go, they tried to turn this whole thing into a circus. And then you got Dianne Feinstein demanding a long, drawn-out investigation, and they're now saying that the FBI has to look into this and needs to look into it sooner rather than later. But it's kind of backfiring. Washington Post points out Senate Democrats are beginning to realize that Professor Ford's refusal to testify about this 36-year-old case will likely, you know, hurt their party as their best hope to block Brett Kavanaugh's ascent to the Supreme Court. Now, we've interviewed people that have known him in high school, people that he's dated. We've interviewed people that have known him since that point in his life, and then in college, and then in law school, and then when he worked for the Bush administration, and then when he served as a judge, and clerks that work for him. All women all say the same thing. He's a total gentleman. So Dianne Feinstein actually had a moment of clarity and truth yesterday, and then as soon as she said it, she got just pounded by the base of her party.
I think it's really too bad that no one called her or called her lawyer. My understanding is she got emails. And this is a woman, and I really believe, who's been profoundly impacted by this. Now, I can't say everything's truthful. I don't know. Right. But I do know that you had to contact her lawyers.
I can't say everything's truthful. I don't know. By the way, it was an honest, real comment. The minute after she made it, she was getting pounded by the base of her party. Then she tried to go out and clarify that remark, which says a lot about the base of the party. I went through a whole monologue on TV last night, earlier today, talking about the presumption of innocence is key to a fair legal system in this country. Everyone said, well, the FBI needs to investigate. Well, the FBI rightly pointed out the allegation does not involve any potential federal crime. This would not be their jurisdiction. And in terms of any crime whatsoever, the statute of limitations have long since passed decades ago. You know, it was funny to watch Hillary last night does an interview on fake news, conspiracy TV, hate Trump TV, MSNBC. And, you know, she claims that this woman, Professor Ford, deserves the benefit of the doubt. Okay, well, what about, you know, her husband? Juanita Broderick has weighed in and calls Dick Durbin a fraud for pushing this particular assault allegation and also saying, where's my FBI investigation? And I interviewed Juanita Broderick, and she was compelling and believable to me about an assault, a rape of Bill Clinton. Took the time to interview her. I take the time to interview Professor Ford if she would want to sit down for an interview, and her attorney. So we don't know if this woman now is going to testify. Well, we know this is a last-minute thing. Now, the Senate Judiciary Committee has done a lot to try to accommodate Professor Ford, even though she said she would testify publicly under oath. And a lawyer said that many times. Well, they said, well, you can do it privately if you'd like to, if it would be more comfortable for you. Then the Senate Judiciary went an extra mile again today and said, well, we'll send a group of people to go see you. So this way you don't have to, we could do it privately. We still don't have any answers on any of that. I see that a lot of Democrats are getting angry at Dianne Feinstein. Quote, Washington Post, as she plots the next steps, Feinstein is dealing with questions about her decision to wait weeks before sharing Ford's letter, only issuing a cryptic statement last Thursday, then word surfaced of its existence. That came almost a week after Kavanaugh's confirmation hearings wrapped up. She met with Kavanaugh privately. She didn't bring it up, but she knew about it. She also got to, like every other Democratic colleague in that circus that we witnessed, she had an opportunity to ask him publicly. She didn't do it. I will tell you, I'm glad we're going to have a hearing to get to the bottom of it. It'd be nice to have it done before, said John Tester, a fellow Democrat. But, you know, I wasn't in her shoes. And you have the comment by Mazie Hirono. Men need to shut up. Kavanaugh accuser needs to be believed. I believe her.
You're one of just four women on the committee. How does that impact the proceedings, if at all?
Of course it helps that there are women on that committee, but you know what? I expect the men in this country And the men in this committee, and many of them, believe me, because we all signed on to this letter to demand an FBI investigation. But really, guess who's perpetuating all of these kinds of actions? It's the men in this country. And I just want to say to the men in this country, just shut up and step up. Do the right thing for a change.
That where we don't have the presumption of innocence anymore at all. I think I've been fair. I think she should. It's a serious charge. Allow her to speak. Allow Brett Kavanaugh to speak. Allow people that were either at the party, people that knew him at that time of his life, and all throughout the rest of his life. And then you're going to get a picture painted of who Brett Kavanaugh is. And then you make a decision based on the entirety of what you learn about this individual. Now, let's get to our busy telephones here. Let's say hi to Charles, who's in Florida. Charles, hi, how are you? Welcome to the program.
How are you, Sean? What a great show. And let me say this to you. Keep talking about you peel back the onion. You exploded the onion, my friend. Exploded it.
We got there. We're getting there. I'm telling you. It's we're so close now. That's why it's – listen, they're going to push a constitutional crisis here.
And you said a word a minute ago. You said it's a coup. It absolutely is a coup. It's an overthrow of the government. That's really what's going on. It's worse than we think it is. And this deep state thing is deeper than we think it is. I'm sure if we got to the bottom of the deep state, there'd be nobody in the DOJ or the FBI.
I know a report that is being worked on right now, and we may have it by 9 o'clock tonight. That'll blow a lot of this out of water, that they purposely deceived, that this was an attempt at a soft coup against Donald Trump and to undermine a duly elected president after they tried to prevent him from ever getting elected by perpetuating what was nothing but propaganda and lies against the American people and a FISA court. It's bad. It is. We don't get this right, we're going to lose the country. This rips the foundation out of our constitutional republic and principles we hold dear. In the case of Kavanaugh, presumption of innocence. In the case of the deep state, well, that would mean, you know, equal justice under the law, equal application of American laws. We protect one class of people, and we use the power of the state, the intel community, to destroy others. Let's go to Michael. Oh, now, my favorite restaurant in Winston-Salem is called Putter's. It has the best food you've ever had in your life. And I've had the pleasure of eating there a number of times. I know the owner of Putter's, Michael, he's checking in with us today. How are you, my friend? How's my favorite restaurant? I miss you.
Sean, we're doing great. We miss you, buddy. Hope to see you soon.
I'm going to be down there soon, and I hope to see you. And So one day I wanted to order food, and they had closed, and you actually opened the restaurant up for me. I hope I gave a good tip.
Of course you did. You always do, buddy. But we got your biggest fan over here.
Now, this is your son. I know George, right? It's his birthday today, right?
It is. He wanted to say hey to you.
Hey, George.
Hey, Sean.
Hey, buddy. How are you? Happy birthday, my friend.
Thank you.
Say hi to about 17 million people. Say hi, everybody.
Hi.
Now, George is like me, and I do mixed martial arts, and I train 5 days a week for about an hour and a half every day, and I've really been working hard at it. You do martial arts too, right?
Yeah, you do Taekwondo.
I do Taekwondo.
And how long have you been doing Taekwondo?
1 year.
1 year.
1 year. Now, you're never going to quit, right? You're going to become a professional. You're going to get to be a black belt, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right. Do you like it? Do you like Taekwondo?
Yeah.
Well, the next time I'm down at Putter's in Winston-Salem, well, I am going to show you a few of the moves that I've learned, okay? And you can show me the ones you've learned.
Okay.
All right. So you keep working hard. I'm a brown belt now, and I'll probably be a black belt in a year. So I'm working really hard to get my black belt. All right, my friend.
Thanks, we love the show. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. Thank you. Let me tell you, you've never had better food in your life. Oh, it's all my favorites on one menu. It's unbelievable.